So I'll be continuing to read the passage from Acts chapter 10, verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he has sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witness of all that he did, both in the country and of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. But they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." But Peter began and explained it to them in order. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners. And it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey, and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and all was drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at that very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen the angel stand in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard these things, they fell silent, and they glorified God, saying, "Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life."
Well, good evening, everyone. My name is Sean. It is a great pleasure of mine to be coming up and reading God's Word, and especially warm welcome to those that are visiting here. We had a lot of things happening this evening, a lot of things to be excited for and thankful to God for. And as we continue God's Word, let's continue to have our hearts ready to be changed by God's Word as we look at this passage in Acts. And before we get started in this passage, I wanted to share a common experience that I have, one that happens to me quite frequently. Let me first say that I'm an Australian-born Chinese. I have the hair, I have the eyes, I have the face. Pretty standard looking. And one day, I was with my daughter. We were going to the car. We were going to the playground, and we noticed that there was another Chinese boy, similar age. She's about 2 years old, playing at the playground by himself. And he was so excited to see my daughter, someone that he could play with on the playground. And as I saw the boy run to us, I noticed that his guardian had a similar expression. This man was an elderly Chinese man. And as I saw him approaching with the toddler, he had this big smile, a big wave, and he was really enthusiastic as he said something to me. Did I mention that I don't speak any Chinese at all? See, I have the appearances, but I lack any sort of ability to speak Chinese. And so I responded with the only Chinese words that I know. I don't speak Chinese. And as I said it, you could see it in his face, the smile slowly retreating to an awkward chuckle. The wave disappeared, and he retreats back to his seat. You see, when he found out that I wasn't speaking Chinese, his excitement in meeting me and Mika quickly disappeared. And you can't blame him, because that language barrier is real. We can't actually communicate. But it did make me think. You know, often in our day-to-day lives, we too can get caught up in our own cultural groups. Sometimes they're the only ones we look forward to. I know that has happened to me plenty of times. Sometimes we can't help it, like the elderly gentleman. But more often than not, we choose to be with our own ethnic group. And the question I want to pose to you today is, how do you know God isn't like that? How do you know that God isn't just seeking to bless his own chosen people? His own chosen people that were the Jews, what right do we have as Gentiles, non-Jews, to be baptized? Well, this passage this evening will answer this question. And from this passage, I want to give you four reasons, at least, on why God is seeking to bring all nations into his family. So if you have your Bibles with you, keep Acts 10 and 11 open. We'll be kind of glancing through bit by bit. But first reason, that we know God is blessing all the nations under his power, is through the calling of Cornelius. Now, Cornelius is a Roman officer of about 100 men, and his whole household is getting together. But it all begins when the angel comes to Cornelius with wings, a harp, a piano playing You're Beautiful by James Blunt. And he's overwhelmed with peace and serenity. But that's not quite how it goes. Firstly, because that song doesn't give you peace and serenity. Secondly, it's the vision that he gets. Have a look at how he responds. This is in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 10. He stares at the angel in fear. He recognizes that this angel is from God. And the angel comes to Cornelius and tells him about this man named Peter and instructs Cornelius to go and meet him. And at this point, you have to go, why? Why do that? This seems a little inefficient. I mean, if God had a message to give to Cornelius, the angel's kind of there. Peter's not. He's about 50 kilometers away, and it's not like they can take an Uber to Cornelius, to Simon, and bring him back. No, he's having to take a journey 50 kilometers long by foot. And so the question you have to ask is why? Well, if you were here last week, you already know the answer. It's because that's how God spreads his gospel. It's through people. If Ben preached last week in the Acts and he looked at what's God's role and what our role in making Jesus known. And if you haven't heard that sermon, may I suggest going on our website, check it out and have a listen. It is a good listen. But in it, what we saw was God's sovereignty, that is God's authority and his power, brings people to know Jesus supernaturally, but he uses people to tell the gospel to them. He did that with Saul, a name you might be familiar with. We saw him a few weeks ago, and he had a supernatural experience on the road to Damascus. He was blinded, and then God led him to another man named Ananias. Ananias, who spoke the gospel to him, and he was then healed. Now, this is the same Saul that was a heavy persecutor of the church. He was going around to people's houses, dragging people out of their house and pulling them out into prison. But God, he entered into Saul's life and put him and brought him into his own family. And the way he did that was through Ananias. It's a similar situation that we see today. In Acts 10 and 11, it's the same for Cornelius, a Gentile, a non-Jewish man. God, again, is entering into their lives with sovereign power, just as he did with Saul. This is the confirmation through the Jerusalem Council. These are the original chosen people for God, the leaders of those people. And in Acts 11, as we see the recount of how important this story is, we see that there is tension there. There is that tension between the Jew and the Gentile, because when they hear that Peter has been mixing with the Gentiles, look at how they reacted. They criticized him. But notice that at the end of verse 18, it ends with them glorifying God when they realize, like Peter did, that the Gentiles have received the same gift of the Spirit that they have. See, that's how momentous this scene is. It is a shift, not just for Peter, but for the whole Jerusalem council. And so now there cannot be any doubt that it is God who is bringing the gospel to the world, not just to the Jews. That's what God has always been working towards. And it begs the question about whether we share that same vision. Whether we share that vision to bring all tribes, all nations to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought of three different ways that it might show itself. There are plenty more, but let me get you started about what that means. Firstly, and most importantly, it's seen in how we support missionaries or how we view mission work. As we've seen, God is the one that brings people to himself, but he uses humans to do that. And so, really, as followers of Jesus, we are part of that mission work. But as we think about those that are serving in this mission full-time, what are some ways that we could help them? Whether it's in prayer, whether it's in finances, or more practically, when they're here in Perth. How can we help these missionaries as they bring the gospel out? How can we be more aware about their finances, about the struggles that they're facing, whether it's through newsletters and emails? And are we even aware of the missionaries that we support as a church in Bull Creek? Because if God has this heart for the world, well, let's get on board with Bull Creek's team to reach the globe. Let's work together so that we can continue to support one another to proclaim this gospel to the world. Now, you might think of many other ways that you could do this. You could think about how you could grow a love for mission work or how you can support them. Maybe you could talk to the team here that lead the mission leadership team that looks over all the missionaries that we support, and see how you can help them out. There are many ways that this could look, and I'll leave that to you to think about. But as I move to the second way that I see this affecting us, it's in the way that we see other people in church and in our life. We see it in the way that we show concern for them. So when Jesus says in Matthew 12, when asked about his mother and brothers, he says this, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." It's not just some metaphor, but he's speaking of this changed relationship that believers enter into through Jesus Christ. We become God's family. So then if God's family is to include both Jew and Gentile, both Aboriginal and Asian, is that how we live? Here in Bull Creek, we are very culturally diverse, and praise God for that. Even as we look at the new members in the membership that came up earlier, they are very diverse. But the question is, do we actually treat them like brothers and sisters? Brothers and sisters of the eternal kingdom? Or is it more like workmates? A bit like acquaintances. You glance over and you walk past them, you give them a quick nod. But as we've seen from our passage in Acts, God's concern for the Gentiles is further than just being polite. See, it would have been very easy for Peter to say, "That's a bit far, I won't go." He probably had other things planned in his calendar. But Peter obeyed God. He traveled those 50 kilometers. He traveled and stayed with the Gentiles at the cost of his own reputation. And we saw the consequence. We saw part of that consequence in chapter 11, didn't we? But he did so out of obedience to God's vision. But what might that look like for us? Well, I think that actually means treating believers as your brother and sister. It's so easy to get back into groups that we're so familiar with in our ethnic circles, and yet our concerns shouldn't just be limited to them. Let me encourage you to invite others into your circle. Look for ways that you can meet people of other nations, caring for them, having meals with them, encouraging them in their faith in Jesus Christ. And yes, it will mean we will go out of our way, but it's so that they will be comforted in the Lord. Whatever we would do for our own brother and sister in our family, why don't we do that with our heavenly family? Thirdly and finally, let me urge you to continue to believe the gospel. To have the same vision that God has, we need to believe the gospel ourselves. God's vision and God's desire is before both Jew and Gentile. All ethnicities are to come into God's family and to be saved from sin. This is the good news of Christianity. This is the very driving force of God's through God's Spirit that causes us to love God. And so if you're visiting us here tonight and you're exploring what Christianity is and what it means, this is what it's all about. Look with me in Acts 10, verses 34. Hear what Peter declares to the Gentiles about what Christianity is. Hear what God commands Peter to say to all the nations. Because in these words, God lays out the basic foundations of the story of Jesus Christ. You see in this whole section that in Jesus' life, he preached good news with news of peace with God, despite humanity's disobedience to God. We know about how John baptized Jesus and how the Spirit anointed Jesus. We know about Jesus' miracles and the healings that he performed that demonstrated his power over the world and over Satan. We know this because of the witnesses that have written down these events for us in the Bible, so that these chosen witnesses could preach and testify to Jesus' death and his resurrection, so that when Jesus returns and he judges the living and the dead, those that believe would receive forgiveness and peace with God, so that all that are saved would praise and glorify God and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations. See, this is the most important thing to sort out in your life, your relationship to God. But it is through faith in Jesus that we have forgiveness of sins. Now I urge you to look into him. At the back of, as the entrance, sorry, there are booklets called Two Ways to Live. These booklets are free. They're a great help for you to, for me, to learn about what Jesus has done for us. And so let me encourage you to grab them, because God's vision is to bless all the nations of the world through Jesus Christ. So let's all share in that same vision of God, praising him and magnifying God for his precious gift through the Lord Jesus Christ. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and give you thanks for your word and for your son, Jesus. Thank you that you have saved us from our sin. Thank you that you've sent your only son to die for us. Thank you that you've included both Jew and Gentile into your family, something that we do not deserve at all. Lord, help us as we share in your vision to bring all the nations into your family. Help us to consider how we might be able to serve you in this goal. Challenge us, Lord, to use the gifts that you have given us so that your kingdom would continue to grow. We ask this so that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.